Losing our loved ones is never easy, but surrounding ourselves with friends and family to remember a precious life can help ease the burden. Introducing eternallyirish.com, a brand new memorial website that offers families and friends the chance to create an online Irish home for their loved ones who have passed away. Beautifully designed with pictures of the Irish landscape, Eternally Irish is an easy-to-use website, allowing the bereaved to easily and quickly create a memorial for their loved one, celebrating their loved one's life in the Irish tradition of gathering together in times of need. Eternally Irish gives you the opportunity to share memories and stories online, to show a bereaved family that you remember and you care. The bereaved family can read these stories and memories and remember their loved ones with a broad Irish smile. A uniquely Irish home for all eternity. For more, watch our informative video on eternallyirish.com. Law Fela Padraig o Eternally Irish.
On this St. Patrick's Day, I'd say whether we're celebrating in New York City and in Boston and anywhere, indeed, throughout the world, including Ireland, I think that we do wish and we do have memories of our loved ones, our parents, our siblings, and it is why I'm actually delighted to welcome Tony Williams. Tony Williams is a third-generation funeral director, and he's based in Portumna in County Galway. And even on this celebratory day, again, our thoughts and our prayers and our wishes go to those who came before us. And I must say that eternallyirish.com is a great website, but it also it's a brand new memorial website offering families and friends the chance to create an online Irish home for loved ones who have sadly passed away. Let me welcome, as we go to Portumna, Tony Williams. First of all, happy St. Patrick's Day.
And the same to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Adrian. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that even in Portumna, the Ireland's win of the Grand Slam today with great victory over England with a score of 24-15, that has been very much celebrated in Ireland in particular, and God knows what's going on in Twickenham in England. You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Tell us a little bit about your own family growing up and the family business as the funeral director in Portumna.
I suppose to get a nice little picture of it, I live in a small town in the west of Ireland, and I suppose unlike city life, life can be a little bit slower in the rural part. So I grew up in a funeral practice. And my dad, who had worked in a funeral practice previous to starting and getting involved, the whole generation element of it, he spoke to my grandfather who got involved, and this all started way back in the 70s. And being part of that, I suppose you're connected to something which is very different for an awful lot of people then when you're growing up, you see sadness in a different way because you see that you're somebody who can help somebody through a sad event by being taken into a very, very inner circle part of their life, which as a young fellow watching it, I suppose was a bit unique because I'm looking on and thinking, God, I never want to do that. And I think my dad's great to do it, but I don't think I'll be doing it. And my grandfather, and watching how they progress this. I suppose, experience business, for want of better terms, because you're in a whole emotional event from start to finish. And eventually I found my way into it because my dad became ill and in circumstances of those particular kind, you know, you find yourself suddenly being propelled into something that wasn't won by immediate choice. And whilst he was ill, I found myself then working in the whole practice more and more and more, and I found myself enjoying it or getting a flair for it or finding that,
yeah,
you know, being able to help somebody at those times is something very unique, and to watch how you could make that journey a little bit easier, even though it's never easy,
yeah,
that I liked it, and that's where the whole thing started to grow from.
You know, I think, and one, again, I think it's poignant, and it's on this St. Patrick's Day, as we celebrate not only the legacy of St. Patrick, but particularly here in New York City, the Irish and the parade in New York City is 257 years old, initially starting downtown Manhattan in Battery Park in Bowling Green, not as a celebration of St. Patrick, but actually as a protest, it was, if you think of it, that was before and long before 1776, when America won its own independence. A great amount of, or a great number of us, and I'm sure around the world as well, think, and I think the part of, and the history of St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day had and continues to have, you know, a lot to do with the memories of those who are no longer with us. The idea of, you know, and again, just briefly running through an experience that most of us have had, there is the announcement of somebody who has passed away. There is the grief, there is the loss. Then there is, of course, the wake, the funeral, the burial. And then pretty much everything has to come back to normal. The notion and the idea of, you know, paying tribute to those who came before us, whether that's, you know, somebody, not just our immediate family, but, you know, or the if we can go back a couple of generations, perhaps a grandfather, a grandmother, somebody that has had a very special impact on our lives, and somewhere, you know, in either in Ireland or, you know, there is a perhaps many of the those who left Ireland, who emigrated from Ireland, the Irish diaspora, would have no idea where to start, where to, you know, where to go to Ireland, where to find a family plot, if there is a family plot. Part of what you have undertaken is basically to, number one, reach out to those who not only are recently grieving, but to those who have great family connections, and God knows, you know, we have 34, 35 million people in the United States of Irish descent. But walk us through the process. Walk us through, you know, what somebody can learn by, well, initially, and I would highly recommend going to your website, eternallyirish.com. Tell us what you can do, and, you know, how you came up with this in the first place.
I suppose in some of what you just said there, Adrian, you've probably captured a little bit of it, in where when we lose somebody, there's a gap that occurs in all of our lives, and this gap, I suppose, for for all of us becomes a little bit different, but sometimes it can be one that doesn't repair itself, and the gap creates a wedge because families are on different sides of the world, and it's very difficult to have that same connectivity when that central person has been lost, like perhaps a mom, a dad, it could be a grandmother, a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching back into the generations is one thing that I felt was becoming more important to us, because as a race, we love to travel. We've been dispersed throughout the world by all sorts of different events that have occurred in Ireland, and we've always been ambitious in seeking more and seeking better for ourselves. So through the whole idea as it grew, it started 20 years ago. And when I started to put this out there as a concept, unfortunately, we just didn't have the availability through the internet of what we have now. And it's sat there on a back burner that I visited every couple of years. And I thought, right, I'll have a look at this and see how this is going to fit in. And obviously, with my experience in the funeral business, I could see more and more how loss created disconnection, and loss of connection in a family is something that, you know, we become used to, and that it doesn't have to be like that, that we can re-engage and reconnect and provide these places and spaces through what Eternally Irish is out there now to do. So once upon a time, we might remember as kids, where we put together a shoebox that we put different things about our lives, dug a hole in the garden, and buried it so that we could dig it up with our kids and tell a story from the past. So right now, there's an opportunity here to pull up the shoebox and pull up the shoebox in a virtual place that we can visit now. And opening this, it allows us to do so on different types of the world. And very recently at a particular funeral that I was looking after, I was sitting in the hearse with a friend of mine where I had looked after his dad's funeral previously, and now this is his mum's funeral. He had travelled back from San Francisco. And just as we're sitting outside the house, part of the traditions are when we're travelling to the graveyard, we pass by the house, stop outside the house as a mark of respect. So we're there for, on average, a minute and a half. And in this minute and minute and a half, my friend John has talked to me and he says, listen, this is it then, Tony. It's this is probably, you know, one of my last visits to Ireland, because the connection that I've had is no longer the connection that's there. And I thought, right, this is my moment to tell him a little bit about Eternally Irish. So I started to tell the story. And the more I told the story, the more he engaged with it. And he said, geez, that's a great idea. He says, you know, on my mum's birthday, I could be sitting at home in San Francisco with my kids. We can open up this particular memorial site that we have for mum. I can be there, as I say, with my kids. We can put it all up onto the TV, and we can ring home, and they can be on the site at home, and we can talk and reminisce and reconnect on things that just wouldn't have that opportunity to happen if we hadn't had this connective point that we can come to. So it's re-engaging a meeting point, and it's very much reaching out to the Irish diaspora to reconnect with their heritage and their ancestry, and connecting families, connecting history, and connecting that which is lost. And I suppose I recognized it very much when we were on a recent visit to New York, when we were in one of the centers. And the opportunity that I was given, which wasn't rehearsed, was we arrived in just to meet people. And the guy that was running the center said, look, you know, would you be prepared to stand up here and tell these people what this is all about and just chat? And this was a full re-engagement at an afternoon that this Irish community had come together, and talking to them and reaching out to them. And this is very much a reaching out. It's about bringing together those that have felt that they've become disconnected from what's at home. So not only can we reconnect on the whole virtual side, but we too then can go and search for some of what they have over here so that we can give that information to them, so that becomes part of their storyboard, and that the person's life becomes more a celebration of what it was all about and a nice new sharing of an emotional connection.
There are a couple of key words there in what you've said, and I think one is with respect to the disconnection, and how many times we have heard, and even ourselves as immigrants, you know, when we were asked, well, Do you go to Ireland a lot now? And the answer is generally, and I'm talking about immigrants from Ireland who have come here, born in Ireland, not so much now because, you know, my father and mother are gone now, and, you know, my siblings have scattered, and even if they are in Ireland, you know, it doesn't have the same magnetic attraction that it did when my parents were alive. That story and must be told and retold so many times, and the you know, it shouldn't be a shock to us, but it's the truth. We go the dedication to our parents. Indeed, somehow gets diluted after they're gone.
Yeah, that's very much what happens, and this dilution is because our lives evolve as well. At the same time, you know, we get back into what you mentioned earlier, like get back into normal life, and normal life now becomes a new normal without this person in it. And this is where, I suppose, the background of what Eternally Irish does is that it allows us to collect all the information that was always there, that can be re-engaged, yeah, and that we can stay in touch with. Because it's so easy to have information. Let's say, for example, if you and I were brothers and we had lost somebody and we're living on different sides of the world,
mm-hmm,
you're going to have particular things that you've kept. I'm going to have particular things that I kept. But you may not know what I have, and I may not know what you have. But now suddenly we have a platform where we can share this. And in bigger families, and where you'll extend out into cousins and everything,
yeah,
you suddenly find there's a huge amount of information about the person that perhaps wasn't known to half of who was in the family.
Yeah.
And now the story starts to grow, and the picture starts to increase. And because you can collectively keep information, photographs, video, perhaps even add up music that the person liked, then you suddenly are creating a living memorial that you pass through a family tree that now has a living family tree, as opposed to something that's on a piece of paper with names and dates and that sort of material.
How many times have all of a sudden, particularly when somebody passes, oh my God, we should have gotten a lot more information because this relative of ours knew everything, and now, yeah, we gathered some of it, but isn't it too bad we didn't capture more of it? I think what drew my attention initially to Eternally Irish is that we have a depository now for that information, for whether these are, you know, elderly people, those, you know, who are about to pass on, or, in fact, a great number of people who have great memories of visiting Ireland, of visiting relatives. And, you know, the sky's the limit. Here is a repository, something that I think, number one, is it's a great idea, and one that I congratulate you on in terms of the you know, the whole concept of it. It also then it does open up for people who would say, now I what about those who have spent a lifetime here in America? What about those who, in song and in story, and who may have expressed a wish to actually be interred, to be buried in Ireland, to have to go back from whence they came? Is there a... We do know that it is a... It's an expensive privilege that many indeed would find cost prohibitive. to have somebody when somebody dies here and then to have the body flown back to Ireland, yes, for some people that is a commitment. For others, there is another option. And I think one that has been, fairly much accepted, not only transatlantic, but many religious groups and organizations, including the Catholic Church, have taken a much more liberal view with respect to cremations and that's it. What services, again, yes, the repository, the encyclopedia that you have opened up on Eternally Irish, but just walk us through briefly the options, and if somebody would want their ashes, for instance, taken, spread in Ireland, deposited in a favorite place, perhaps their ancestral home area or parish, whatever. How does that work?
Yeah, that's also one of the options that we have within Eternally Irish of what we can do for families. And, you know, you've touched on probably a couple of things there in respect of where cremation has become more acceptable, because we have a number of people that when their loved one dies, they want to keep their loved one with them, but ideally they'd love to send a little bit of their loved one back to Ireland. And that too becomes an opportunity in how things have changed. And we have had various scenarios where families have engaged us to find their burial ground, and once found, then where they would contact us, we would then collect either in some cases all of the cremated remains and repatriate them back to Ireland. But in other cases, what we've done is they have kept some to be interred in their new burial ground in America or Australia, mm-hmm. and that they have given us a small piece to bring back to Ireland. And what we do is we actually film this, and sometimes family do travel over here also to see it happening. But when they don't, we film it and we take a whole captured memory of this, the graveyard, the area where it all has happened. And if they wish to have a religious ceremony at that time, that we also mm-hmm. film that, that becomes part of their memorial. And that this also becomes something huge that they can engage in and see as part of that facilitated memory in this platform. As you mentioned, that depository,
yeah.
that this becomes a safe box of memory, history, and stories and videos and photographs now that they would never, ever have in this fashion if they hadn't engaged the platform of what we have to offer here.
The service that you do provide, and again, going back to the website, you light a candle, and it becomes, you know, the symbol of the perpetual candle. There is a certificate that you, again, as you talk about, you're undertaking the wishes of families here. It's another alternative to, in families where it is, again, inconvenient, it is cost prohibitive to have the entire family go back to Ireland for funeral. This is an alternative, and as you say, you video, you photograph, you do whatever the family wants to do, and you do the research beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Tony,
absolutely.
It is St. Patrick's Day, a day of celebration, a day of commemorating, of course, the great legacy of St. Patrick. Your website, your service, has become so popular that not only in Ireland and, for that matter, in North America, but it is garnering tremendous attention around the world. Initially, I had reservations about it, and then having met you and having indeed watched the development of the website, and you know, and running it by a number of people who said, you know, that's great. I wonder, you know, I don't know where my grandfather came from. I know that maybe I'm third generation Irish, and I think what you are doing is indeed is to be lauded. I endorse it, and many people, I think, it may not happen on this St. Patrick's Day, but I would say that those who would log on to eternallyirish.com not only can read the story, but I think that you have captured a lot in a two-minute video. I want to, again, thank you for joining us today, because, yes, it's not only a day for celebration for those of us who are still around to celebrate it in whatever way we but it is a day that we can associate a lot with those who came before us. Again, Tony Williams in Port Dumna in County Galway, the website eternallyirish.com, and we welcome you indeed on this St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much, Adrian. And I suppose on something else that I just wanted to briefly mention was that the memorials themselves operate on two levels, that families can choose to have them completely private, where it's just themselves and their family and those that they give a password can visit, or they can choose to keep it public. But that becomes their personal choice. They have control over all of this, of who gets to see it and how much is available for public viewing. So unlike the sort of the exposure that could happen in other sort of ways, is that they manage their privacy, which we all appreciate, is that loss is a very private thing. So they manage this privacy so that they can enjoy it to be just theirs, and that they can remember their loved ones in just the way they want to.
A great idea and a great service. And again, we're delighted to welcome you on this St. Patrick's Day. God bless. Good luck. All right.
Thanks, Adrian. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sure. And
good happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much. And friends, I do want to roll by you that website again. It's eternallyirish.com. Eternally Irish. You don't have to go on right now, because we have, if you're listening to us, we have been...